Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Friday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters when we come to you live for the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Thanks for being with us. DA with you. It's a Target Demo Friday. Send me your tweets at DA on CBS. Send me your Facebook messages, facebook.com/TheDAShow. I'll read Target Demo Friday coming up here later on in the hour. Also, Alexi Lalas is going to join us from Fox's Sports Soccer coverage, Fox Sports Soccer coverage for tomorrow night's MLS Cup, their Super Bowl of MLS. So a note on UCF. Because as we just heard last segment, Mike Oresko is the commissioner of the American Athletic Conference, and he is asking, is this truly open for everybody, or is this about an invitational? And the answer is, it is an invitational. There is not a way in if you play in the American. There's just not. UCF has gone undefeated two straight years, having beaten Auburn last year in a New Year's Six game. Auburn, the one that defeated both Georgia and Alabama, the two finalists for the national championship. UCF won every game again this year, and they didn't even get to number five or number six or number seven in the final rankings before the playoff. They're at number eight. You're going to win every game for two straight years and then finish at number eight. Now, I realize starting quarterback Mackenzie Milton out, that may have factored into the committee's decision. But it is an invitational because there is no path for UCF to get in. I keep talking about this. And let's just be real about it. Because when Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, says, well, schedule better. It's your fault. It's your fault. That's fine and good when you're the SEC and say, well, we're going to schedule better. And he, the commissioner of the SEC, said we had this problem a couple of years ago in college basketball, and we said we need to schedule better. That's fine and good, except it doesn't work that way in college football. Because as UCF has said, both Josh Heupel and Danny White, their AD, we'll play anybody, but nobody wants to play us. See, in college basketball, there is a reward to a tough schedule. RPIs, strength of schedule. It's all about 68 teams trying to get into this pot. And so you are the final, let's say, 10 teams that are at-large teams against the other 30, first 30 out. You are comparing all of those schedules, comparing your strength of schedules, comparing your quality wins, comparing the BMI or the BPI or the RPI, all of these different indexes. And so there is a reward for playing tough opponents. You want to play tough opponents. One team has 10 losses. Another team has 9 losses. But a team with 11 losses has 2 excellent losses. You're comparing resumes between 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 lost teams. In college football, you lose one game, you might be out. So which one of the Power 5 conference teams that could get into a college football playoff? Does Ohio State? Does Michigan? Does Notre Dame, does Alabama, does Georgia, do any of those teams, does Oklahoma, does Texas, do any of those teams go, yeah, we want to play UCF? No! The non-conference schedule for all of those football teams is Sisters of the Poor, State Tech. It's all home games. And if it's not a home game, it's against a power conference foe in a neutral site so that you can get all the money off of it, like Auburn, Washington earlier this season. It's never, let's go to UCF. No, that's too tough. Too much risk. If one loss could take you out of the playoff, which sometimes it does, you're not going to risk that one loss going on the road to Orlando to play UCF. And you're probably not going to risk having them come to your house. And you've got to prepare 3 years in advance, scheduling-wise, usually. UCF is good now. Let me ask you. 3 years ago, were they supposed to know, okay, we're going to get so-and-so on the schedule to help out our power ranking? Who are you going to get 3 years in advance that will say yes now, that 3 years from now will help you out? They scheduled two power conference teams this year, UNC and Pitt. Granted, those aren't great teams. The UNC game got taken out because of the hurricane. It got canceled. But what else do you want UCF to do? They're trying to schedule 2 years in advance, 3 years in advance, multiple power conference teams, and then they've got to beat them both, no question, almost always on the road. It's not the same. It is nice for Greg Sankey of the SEC to say, well, you should try to schedule better. But you've got to also find the teams that will schedule against them. Is UCF going to say no to Alabama? No. Will they say no to Auburn, LSU, USC, UCLA? Will they say no to Texas, Oklahoma? Will they say no to Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State? Will they say no to Wisconsin? Of course not, but none of those teams will play them. You think they'll say no to Florida State or Miami? You think they would say no to playing the Gators? That would be the greatest thing ever to happen to them. They're not the ones saying no. Nobody else will play them. This weekend, the New England Patriots will creep one step closer to wrapping up a bye and perhaps the number one seed in the AFC when they travel down to Miami to take on the Dolphins Sunday at 1 o'clock Eastern time. And look, I've railed on the AFC East. This is not the Patriots' fault. The Patriots are under no responsibility to make sure the Dolphins, the Bills, and the Jets are better. But when you look at the final path of the final month of the season for all of these teams of the AFC battling for a bye, knowing how crucial a bye has always been to the Patriots, New England has never made one of these Super Bowls under Belichick and Brady playing wild card weekend. Never. All eight times they have gone to the Super Bowl, they have had a bye. All eight. In other words, they're not good enough to win three games in the AFC playoffs. The few times they've had to do it, they've lost before they've gotten to the Super Bowl. And they haven't won a road playoff game since 2006, the Marlon McCree Chargers game. Granted, they don't have many cracks at that because they oftentimes have all of the home games, but they've gone 0-2 in Denver in AFC championship games with Brady and Belichick over the last couple of years. Fact is, the Patriots need that bye, and they need those home games, and they stack wins of the regular season to get there, and this will be another one at Miami on Sunday, and then they wrap up the season against the Bills and the Jets at home. Three wins, barely break a sweat. Let's face it, they can walk out of bed, they can roll out of bed blindfolded, win all of those games by two touchdowns. The only challenge the Patriots will have is against the Steelers in 2 weeks in Pittsburgh. The funny thing, though, is the last 2 weeks, the Steelers losing these two games, they've essentially taken themselves out of a bye. Because right now it's 7-4-1, the Steelers can collect no more than 11 wins. No more than 11 wins. And that's if they run the table, and that's no easy task because they've got the Patriots, and they're at New Orleans. So how about the Chiefs? Because this is crucial. For the Chiefs to get the Patriots at home in an AFC championship game, way different than going to Foxborough. Way different, as we all know. As I've mentioned, Patriots haven't won a playoff game on the road since 2006. The Chiefs down the stretch, this is a crucial run for them. And it begins this weekend. And now they've got to do it, obviously, without Kareem Hunt. They're home against the Ravens. Not easy, but winnable. They're home against the Chargers. Tough. At Seattle. Still very tough. Home against the Raiders. The Chiefs have three potential big-time landmines in the final 4 weeks of the season. And remember, the Patriots hold the head-to-head tiebreaker over Kansas City, having beaten them earlier in the season. So if they both end up, let's say, at 13-3 or 12-4, Patriots are the one seed. Crucial, crucial for the Pats to get back to a Super Bowl. I think the Chiefs are going to end up stumbling once or twice down the stretch and open up the door wide open for the Patriots, which means that game at Heinz Field against the Steelers may very well decide the Patriots' fate in going to a Super Bowl. If they beat Pittsburgh at Heinz Field, they're more than likely going to get the number one seed. That's unless the Chiefs rattle off all four of these games, which I don't think they will. I think they will slip up at least once. If the Chiefs have three losses, one loss in the final month of the season, and the Patriots win all four, the Patriots are your one seed. You know what? Even though the Steelers, this is what's crazy, the Steelers are probably not playing for a bye anymore. They've just got to hold on to the division, hold off the Ravens. But the Steelers hold all of the control in the AFC. They can lose every one of these games at the end of the season, but they have to beat the Patriots to really open up the AFC. It comes down to that. Obviously, the Texans are in the mix as well. They've rattled off 9 straight wins, and their final month of the season, very winnable. Colts, at Jets, at Eagles, home to the Jaguars. The Texans could end up at 13-3. And so, note, it is possible we have the Patriots as the one, the Texans as the two, and the Chiefs as the three. The Chiefs have held the number one seed throughout the entire season. If the Chiefs lose two of these final four, which, as I mentioned before, they've got a Ravens team, a Chargers team, and at Seattle, they could absolutely lose two of those games and having lost Kareem Hunt. That makes them a four-loss team. That makes them 12-4. And it's a crazy good year in the AFC because 12-4 might not get you a bye. And so I'm sorry, Patriots fans, when you want to throw rotten fruit at me when I talk about this, but you always get the easiest road to the playoffs. Down the stretch, look, playing in this division, the Chiefs have to play the Chargers. It's a tough game. It's a really tough game. The Chargers are one of the best teams in the AFC. Patriots have to play the Jets with Sam Darnold, rookie quarterback, maybe, if they put him back in. Adam Gase and Ryan Tannehill, which every week it feels like it's about to fall apart. And the Buffalo Bills with Josh Allen. I mean, it's just open up wide open for you, and that's three of your final 4 weeks of the season. To deny that that is a benefit is crazy. Now, the Patriots have won the game they needed to earlier in the season. They beat the Chiefs. They beat the Vikings last week. They beat the Packers. Those are important games en route to the playoffs. But everybody's banged up. Everybody's exhausted right now. End of the season, trying to keep it together. Everybody's injured. And the Patriots get three total breathers in the final month of the season. They've got to just, it's a one-game season for them, and it has been for a while. Beat the Steelers at Heinz Field, and you're probably the number one seed. And that gives you the bye, and that gives you the home game, which has been crucial for you to get to a Super Bowl. You know, bounce the ball here, bounce the ball there. You lose a game because it's a tougher division, and suddenly you're playing wild card weekend, and you've got to play three playoff games, two of which on the road. It's a way different scene for the Patriots. But it's nice to be in the AFC East where for 18 years, this isn't one down year, for 18 years, it's hot trash lining the side of the street. When we come back, Alexi Lalas is going to join us here on the show. Fox Sports Soccer Analyst. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
If you're a D-alien, then welcome aboard. Maggie A on CBS Sports Radio.
Remember the time we blew bubbles with Patrick Mahomes, and now he's an NFL MVP candidate. Now, our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Need homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all. Geico.com. It's a Target Demo Friday, so let me know what you're doing as you listen to the show, where you're at, and how you're listening. And we'll read them coming up here in about 20 minutes from now. You can hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. You can also hit me up using Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow. Again, facebook.com/TheDAShow. There also you'll be able to find some wonderful, at least one wonderful idea for a Christmas gift, a holiday gift for those in Boise. We commemorated our amazing trip out there and have an opportunity for you guys to share that with us. So go to our Facebook page. You'll see the opportunity there. And hopefully make your holidays a little brighter since you guys helped make our football season much brighter as well. On Twitter, DA on CBS, Kent tweets, am I the only one that keeps hearing Hugh Freeze as Huge Freeze on the updates? I would love to see Huge Freeze become a football coach. Kent, you're not the only one. In fact, one of our listeners passed this along in the first hour. ESPN.com's front page actually said Huge Freeze accepts Liberty job. Now, Hugh Freeze is the disgraced former Ole Miss head coach who is taking the Liberty football job. Huge Freeze sings songs on our show every Thursday. Oftentimes, 80s sitcoms. Not the same guy. And yet ESPN.com mistakenly said Huge Freeze in its headline. That's how much Robbie Rosenhaus has poisoned all of America's brains. And I'm here for all of it. All of it. So you're not the only one. Every time Marco says Hugh Freeze took the Liberty job, my ears perk up and I think that I'm going to get the Full House theme song. 855-212-4CBS. Luke tweets, I'm with you, DA. UCF suffers from Boise State disease. None of the big boys benefit from scheduling UCF. Either they beat them, quote, because they're supposed to, or they get upset and get immediately eliminated from major bowl and college football playoff contention. Yeah, there's just not a good enough reason right now to play UCF. And think about it. You've got to schedule, again, years in advance if you're UCF to try to get on that schedule. And who's to say years in advance you'll be as good as you are now? Boise State has fought this every step of the way over the last 15 years. Ain't nobody going to Boise. There is not a power conference team in America that wants to make that trip because they don't want to play on the road. They don't want to play in an unfamiliar environment where everything's to gain for Boise State and nothing's to gain, perhaps, in a non-conference game when you should just schedule Buffalo, Louisiana Lafayette. Because as long as you do your business in your conference, you're safe. No matter what you do in the non-con. But if you slip up with a non-conference schedule, oh, you are screwed. So what's the benefit? And that's one of the biggest disappointments I have at the college football playoff. I've loved the playoff. I think it's worked. But it does not reward difficult non-conference scheduling enough. It has not rewarded and forced power programs to have to schedule really good non-conference games. And that's an unfortunate byproduct of the college football playoff. You still see very conservative non-conference scheduling. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. I mentioned Mark Sanchez, the butt fumble. Who else is directly connected to a crazy moment like that for the rest of their careers? Matt tweets, how about Jim Marshall picking up the football and running the wrong way? That's a good one. Jim Marshall, one of the great defensive linemen of the 70s and really the 60s and into the 80s as well. He was an Iron Man. That's a good one. Jimmy says, DA, what about Leon Lett? Butt fumble Sanchez isn't the only one. That's a really good one. Leon Lett had to live with the Leon Lett play forever. That's a very good one. And then he doubled down and he tried to pick up the blocked field goal in Dallas on Thanksgiving. MLS Cup comes up tomorrow night on Fox Sports, and this is fascinating because 70,000 people are going to be in the stands for this game as Atlanta United FC hosts the Portland Timbers. Tomorrow night, coverage begins at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Fox. And our next guest is the lead studio analyst for Fox Sports' MLS Cup presentation. Alongside him will be Rob Stone and Maurice Adu. It is Alexi Lalas joining us this morning on the show. Alexi, good morning. How you doing, my man?
Good morning from Atlanta. Man, this place is going nuts for this MLS Cup this Saturday night, 7:30, like you mentioned, on Fox. Big Fox is going to be rocking. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's really cool because Atlanta's been one of the great success stories in American soccer, certainly for MLS. When you see a soccer stadium, well, when you see a football stadium that has 70,000 soccer fans in it, what is your feeling knowing your history watching American soccer grow from the very start of MLS in 96?
It warms the cockles of my redheaded heart to see that. What's going on the field from a entertainment perspective is wonderful. What's going on off the field, you mentioned the numbers. We're going to have 70,000 plus tomorrow in the stadium to watch this MLS Cup final. But on a consistent basis here in Atlanta in particular, what is happening is nothing short of extraordinary. And we were talking to Arthur Blank yesterday, and he's a very smart guy, but he's also a very honest guy. And he said, look, I believed in this team, but I didn't think it was going to be like this. And talking about warming the cockles of someone's heart, when he walks into his stadium that was, yes, made for football, but also for the other types of football, he considers it a soccer stadium. And he is as proud of his soccer team as he is of his football team for a number of reasons, not the least of which is that this Atlanta as a city continues to grow and continues to be incredibly diverse. And I think maybe more so than any other sport here, they are able to mirror that and give the people what they want. And by the way, they have shown that they want it. Everywhere you go in this city, you see the black and red colors. It is relevant in ways that it isn't in many, many other markets. So this is the envy. This is the super club of Major League Soccer right now, the club by which all others are measured, the club that has certainly had the most success, as I mentioned, the relevancy, and also the club where as many people hate it as love it. That's the mark of a super club, and that's what you want to be.
It's funny because your team in 1994 really sparked my love of the game and certainly got me into MLS because so many of you guys played in it. And to watch what's happening at Atlanta right now, I love. And then also Portland is a different story, but the same coolness because it's a much smaller stadium, yep, more intimate. But the passion and the tradition now that the Timbers fans have created is just a different vibe, but it's just as cool. In your mind, these two teams, Portland and Atlanta, do they represent kind of the very best of what MLS can become and is becoming?
They do, and maybe in different ways, but ultimately it comes down to, you know, and I use the word relevancy a lot, and it's something that we as soccer people have tried for a number of decades to achieve. And to different levels of success, we've done it. But when you look at what Portland is, they treat the Portland Timbers like any other professional team and maybe even have more reverence for it because of the success that it has. And it's almost played into a whole new generation that thinks about themselves globally. The international aspect of the game, I think, is very, very appealing to a younger generation, and it covers different demographics. It checks a lot of boxes going forward. It's still relative to other sports and leagues in its infancy, so it has a tremendous amount of growth potential over there. And when you go into those cities, they make no apologies, nor should they, that they are soccer cities, and Atlanta is a soccer city. Maybe it was a sleeping soccer city until this team came, but ultimately they love their soccer here, and it shows in terms of not just the numbers. And the numbers might be different. As you said, 70,000 can be held in Atlanta and maybe 25,000 over in Portland, but it doesn't matter. They are a soccer city. Whether they are in the stadium or not, they love their team, and more importantly, they love the sport, and it's part of the fabric of not just their community but of their life.
Alexi Lalas joins us from Fox Sports in advance of tomorrow night's MLS Cup. Now, I know you're supportive of U.S. Men's National Team, the new head coach, Greg Berhalter, as the hire, but I know that you've been critical of the process. What's been the biggest problem in the process of finally hiring a new head coach?
Time. I mean, there's a lot of folks that have other problems with the process. I think for me, and I think it generally the majority believe that the time is the biggest problem. And look, you can talk to the United States Soccer Federation, and they will give you points and valid points as to why it took so long. But we were given this strange, and I hesitate to use the word gift, but I'm going to say it's a gift of time, something that national teams normally don't have. When we had that incredible failure in the fall of 2017 where the men's team failed to qualify for the World Cup that happened this summer in Russia, we were given almost a year to kind of reassess and reboot and get a head start to making sure that it never happens again. And what did we do? We did nothing. And that, I think, is where a lot of the consternation comes from. Having said that, the process, agree or disagree, it ended up with Greg Berhalter, who is eminently capable of coaching this team. He's not a sexy name. He's not a sexy hire. In that sense, he's the anti-Jurgen Klinsmann. But maybe he's not the person that a lot of people wanted, but maybe he's the person that we need right now, because we need somebody to come in and bring this program back to the status that we need it to be and make people believe again. I've never been in a moment in U.S. soccer where we are more dark and depressed and negative about our national team, and it's seeped over into how we feel about soccer. That's not a good place to be. So hopefully Greg Berhalter can get the results. It's the same in any sport. You got to get those results and make us believe again that we are heading in the right direction.
That's a good point. Fox Sports broadcasting its second MLS Cup coming up tomorrow night on Fox. Atlanta United FC hosts the Portland Timbers, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the beautiful Palace in Atlanta. Coverage begins at 7:30 Eastern. Alexi Lalas, lead studio host, MLS Cup presentation. Rob Stone, Maurice Adu, they do a wonderful job covering the sport. They'll be on it tomorrow night again for MLS Cup. Alexi, it's always really fun to catch up, my man. Enjoy the game tomorrow night. I will be locked in.
Oh, we're going to have a good time. Fox, Big Fox, Homer Simpson Fox.
Homer Simpson Fox, which is cool in and of itself. Thanks, Alexi.
Got it.
Alexi Lalas joining us this morning on the show, and that is notable as well. This is a championship game for American soccer that does not include an international team on the Big Fox, on the big channel. So that is really cool. If you're a soccer fan such as myself, watching the growth of it here in the country. When we come back here on the show, a little Target Demo Friday. DA, CBS Sports Radio, Marco Belletti is standing by with your headlines.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. The 12 DAs of Christmas to all, and to all, a good night.
Tired of it. Stayed up till midnight, getting 5 hours sleep to have my ass handed to me by the freaking Eagles again.
You're actually crying.
Tired of it, man. I just want good football, DA. I want good football. You know I love this team.
These two guys. C students, we want these two bozos.
Hey, he's got a welfare fraudulent.
Let's break some more chairs, guys.
That's unfair.
You know what's unfair? Going after a 98-year-old woman of the church! Of the church!
What kind of pot?
A crock pot.
No, I don't believe I know what kind of pot that is. I would smoke it, and then of course finish with some lemon zest.
So what happens if I don't have a smoker?
Of course you could just go to your neighbor's place, as they're burning up some growth, you know, from the winter. Then just put it on top of that.
He looks like a big boy, and that's something you would have said too.
I definitely would.
I am a big boy.
Faraz, you can take off the blindfold now and tell us if this is Miss Chicken Pesto.
Yes, it's the hair! Yay! It's the hair! I haven't seen her!
That's her! Yay!
What a ball of joy you are.
Big boy.
That's amazing!
The time is now! The place is here! And the whole wide world is filled with cheers!
Number 10 of the 12 DAs of Christmas, August the 14th. It's Meraz's travel guide.
Number 10.
So when people come to New York City and they see the Empire State Building, they're done for the day.
Well, I mean, at least we got the Statue of Liberty. Okay, that's over there.
Then they're done for the day.
Other than that, I mean, maybe you want to see the Brooklyn Bridge? Maybe the Freedom Tower?
Then they're done for the day.
I would say, yeah, four hits, you're out.
Central Park?
It's a park! Let's bump the brakes.
Times Square?
I mean, does Times Square still fascinate people? You see it every year on TV?
Then you're done for the day.
Then you're done for the day. But let's not make Paris out to be New York City.
Oh, whoa.
a big leap.
It's a huge leap.
It
huh?
is.
Even though everyone across the globe considers Paris one of the great cities of the earth.
Yeah. So Chicago. After you have deep dish, you're done.
You're done for the day.
You're done for the day.
You see the Sears Tower, you're done for the
day. You're done for the day. It's the Willis Tower now.
St. Louis.
Arch, done.
Done for the day.
Don't even need to see Busch Stadium.
You're just done for the day.
You're done for the day. Oh, there's the arch, honey. Let's keep going.
Boston.
Boston. Okay, I'll give you a couple. You go to Quincy Market.
Okay.
The tower where they threw the lanterns up there. Fenway Park. Done for the day.
Done for the day.
Done for the day.
That's it.
A lot of these cities are overrated. Atlanta, Coke Factory, College Football Hall of Fame, maybe the aquarium. Then you're done for the day.
Milwaukee.
Milwaukee, you see where they brew beer, maybe make a cheese, and
well,
you're done.
Well, wait, what do you mean where they brew beer and make cheese? Like,
I'm sure there are places there. Yeah, I'm sure there's a brewery, I'm sure, of some sort. Milwaukee's best, right? That's the
you
best beer.
You want to see the Milwaukee's best factory.
What else are you seeing in Milwaukee? Maybe Giannis is walking through the streets. Then you're done. D.C., okay, you see the mall.
Okay.
You see the White House,
uh-huh.
Capitol Building. Pick two monuments tops, because after that, they're all the same. They all become the same. We get it. There's names engraved in walls. We've seen them. Then you're done for the day.
Okay, so you take the list of monuments, you see two. Pick two off this
pick
menu.
Pick two, and you've seen them all.
It's a pick two platter.
Pick two.
Okay, it's...
A Denny's? It's like a two-for-three meal. You pick two, and you've seen them all. Trust me. Lincoln's in that big chair. You want to see that? Fine.
That does not count as a monument.
No, I don't even know what that is. Is that the library there?
That's the Lincoln Monument.
The Lincoln Monument.
The Lincoln Memorial.
Okay, so great. See that. Pick another. Get out. You're good. Oh, D.C. was nice, honey. You guys know what I mean out there. These cities, there's not much to see. You're done.
There's not much to see. You're done. Oh, man. I could do that forever. That is so good. That's just America through the lens of Mraz right there. You should write a travel guide.
I'd get in and out of these cities in an hour and a half.
Done for the day. See America by Mraz in 2 hours.
I'm telling you. Out. Bingo, done, bango.
Done for the day. Number 10 of the 12 days of Christmas. Mraz's travel guide, done for the day. I love the quote, arch done. All of the 12 DAs are available by going to YouTube and then also on all of our podcasts and Apple Podcasts and on the website daoncbs.com. Now time for our question of the day brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. Matt tweets, DA, what are your thoughts on the Chiefs picking up Kelvin Benjamin? I think it's a good idea. I don't have a huge problem with it only because it's really low risk. I don't know if Kelvin Benjamin is going to contribute. Benjamin has had his problems. I think he thinks he's way better than he is. He had that excellent rookie season, two very good early years out of the first three after the ACL tear. And then since, he's griping about playing with a better quarterback than Cam Newton. Well, Cam Newton won an MVP, went to a Super Bowl. Then he gets to Buffalo. You know, he's fat. He's out of shape. In Carolina this year, he's no good for the Bills. You know, there just feels like there's a lot of problems with him that he doesn't want to own up to and thinks it's always somebody else's fault. Perhaps being released by one of the worst teams in football is a wake-up call. Maybe going to Kansas City gets him on the straight and narrow. Look, Josh Gordon has worked in New England, so maybe Kelvin Benjamin can work there. It's amazing Sammy Watkins is still banged up. I mean, is he ever going to be healthy, ever? So from that standpoint, more weapons for Mahomes, another threat. Watkins banged up, maybe. But I can't bet on Kelvin Benjamin ever because I think he's his own worst enemy. But it's low risk, so it's no problem for the Chiefs. Target Demo Friday time.
It's a three-hour black hole block party. Here's what our listeners are doing as they connect to the mothership.
On Facebook, Michael tweets, I'm listing a 93-1 to the ticket in Boise, Idaho, getting ready for my work Christmas party this week. And hashtag, how many drinks ago?
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
It's holiday party time at work, isn't it? The office holiday party. Always somebody getting very embarrassed. Daryl tweets, I'm listing on radio.com, working on construction equipment in Southeast Kansas. Do not forget, this is a day that will live in infamy. Today is Remember Pearl Harbor Day. That's right. We should definitely remember that. December the 7th. Devin tweets, I'm on 93.1 The Ticket in Boise. It's huge freeze time, baby. You got to believe. Hashtag Team Freeze.
Got a ticket for a runaway train.
Freeze needs to make up 5.5 games in the final 4 weeks, except this week he'll have a chance to do it because him and Mraz are going against each other in 2 games. They have opposite picks in 2 games. So this is where Huge can pick up at least 2. Doug tweets, greetings, DA. I'm listening to you and doing a few little things to my recently acquired 71 Chevelle. Got you tuned in on my Garage XM radio tuner, channel 206, Doug in Woodhaven, Michigan.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
Well done, Doug. Sounds like a good Friday, huh? On Twitter, Eric tweets, I'm listening on the CBS Sports app at work trying to get that bread, as Troy Aikman says. Tomorrow I got the company Christmas party. I plan on getting turned up with my fiance. Hashtag she's a bad girl.
She's a bad girl, Damien.
Don't get too turned up. Office Christmas parties are dangerous. Remember that. Gary L. tweets, I'll be working all weekend delivering packages for all the people who order online. Bright note, I get to listen to you Sunday morning for the first time. Sunday morning football, I'm excited. Hashtag work, work, work.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
James tweets, morning DA, listening on the radio.com app, out listening to our customers, out keeping our customers caffeinated and happy. Going to go to dinner tonight with the wife. Also, going to race some go-karts and play a round of mini golf. Go Army, beat Navy. AZ and Wisco tweets, I'm on the radio.com app officiating a huge 3-day swim meet this weekend. So 6 individual events, 2 relays for my daughter, and stroke judging, maybe some starter duties for me. Hashtag DQ slips. Hashtag take your mark, beam me up. DQ slips, watch out for those, AZ. And finally, Alex tweets, I'm on SiriusXM channel 206, getting ready for another good week at a fantasy football. Hopefully, I can win in my league's final. If I do, I'll be feasting out.
That's very good, Damon.
Well done, everybody. Happy Target Demo Friday to you. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. Is the epic fail this morning the Mraz segment?
It is. Oh.
Oh, right. Yes, this is when. Yesterday on WFAN in New York, a caller hates my initials.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
If I say these initials, LT, who do you think of?
Lawrence Taylor.
Okay, right. If I say KD, who do you think of?
Kevin Durant.
Right, right. So why does Damon Amendolara, when he does his thing, he goes, this is D.A.
It's D.A. from CBS Sports Radio.
Because what other D.A. is there?
Bro.
He's D.A.
Yeah, Clem, why are you asking us this?
Because you guys are around that circle.
Yeah, but Clem, you got to ask him that.
I know D.A. I'm going to give you an answer. You want to know the answer?
Yes.
Because I did one show with him. Right? I had a good time. Nice guy. It's no Joe, but he's a nice guy. I mispronounced his last name 5 times. And I think that's why, to make life easier for guys like me, he says, you know what, blanket, it's just D.A.
Like, why not just say, this is Damon Amendolara? He's trying to be like a superstar where you just need initials or a first name.
Hey, it's Damon Amendolara. Yes, yet again.
I got to be honest. I don't know
Damon. Trying to get anybody else who
does the letters.
Yeah.
Does John Feinstein say John Jastrzemski?
J.J.? J.J.?
I know Damon. I don't take him as an ego guy.
Get out of here, you little Barbie doll. Get the f*** out of here. Yeah,
I really don't.
I don't know him well enough.
Painting him the wrong way.
I don't know him
I don't
well
take
enough.
Him as an ego guy.
I don't know.
What do you want, Ernie?
J.A. Happ. I mean, it's sickening. This guy goes J.A. Happ. Just choose one name.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
J.J. Puss.
Who does he think he is? Well, this guy isn't Randy Johnson.
Well, we know that.
B.J. Surhoff. Who the heck does he think he is?
That's just the initials he goes by.
The Da.
Who are these people? They get away with this.
I'm D.A., Damon Amendolara.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Excellent. By the way, last night in the Thursday night game, of course, Derrick Henry going to the house, 99 yards, tying Tony Dorsett's NFL record, 1983. I'm on the couch watching this game, and I'm up, and I'm cheering. I'm not even a Titans fan, but I just thought it was so cool. And my wife is next to me. The Bourbon Bell's like, wow, that was great. I said, I think you just watched history. I said, I think that's the second longest run ever behind Dorsett. And so I didn't know if there was another 99-yarder, but I couldn't think of one. And then later on in the broadcast, I did not know this, but the original Monday Nighter, Jack Buck, was on the call for CBS Radio back then, 83. And Fox used it. And so there you realize, oh, my God, Jack Buck called one, Joe Buck called the other. Well, I tweeted about that. And Howie Denaroff, who runs the broadcast over at Westwood One, said, DA, saw your tweet. I've been walking around with that audio for 29 years, waiting for the right way to use it in the right moment. And I finally got that moment. How cool is that? He said, it all just kind of came together, but $2 in the building, calling the only 99-yard runs ever. That is really awesome. And that they used it the last night of the broadcast. That's where smart radio and TV production comes into the sports world. Thanks to Chris Venezia today, executive producer of the DA Show. Dan Silverman on the wheels of steel. Sam Rubinoff at WatchDA.com. And Marco Belletti on your headlines. Be good and be good to one another. The mothership disconnects.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.